Well, hey y'all, welcome back to Prosecco Theory.
Hello.
Guess what just happened to me?
What?
Your cat just rammed his head right into my boob again.
He does really like to do that. Can you hear him meowing in the background now? It was a ram and run. He wants to go outside now.
That's rude.
Sorry, I've had a very inappropriate afternoon, so.
Yes, she has.
That topic for later.
Absolutely. You know what topic for now? Let's talk about boobs.
We are talking all about boobs today. It might be our biggest male audience yet.
We knew you'd suck you. Nope. We knew we'd suck them in eventually.
This is going to be an editing shit show already. So, Michelle, let's start at the beginning.
Way back.
Why do we even have boobs?
You know, Megan, that's a good question.
It's almost like you've researched it.
Almost. Yeah, so I read an article on Psychology Today by Christopher Ryan, who, side note, is the co-author of the book Sex at Dawn, The Prehistoric Origins of Modern Sexuality, which was written in 2010, and it's all about the evolution of monogamy in humans and human mating systems, which we will definitely need to discuss at a later date. But for now, let's put a pin in that. His article about boobs is called Why Do Breasts Mesmerize? And
why do breasts mesmerize?
Well, I mean, lots of reasons, but I had to just put this down entirely and just, I'm going to read it verbatim because I love this so much. Theories range from the belief that breasts serve as signaling devices announcing fertility and fat deposits sufficient to withstand the rigors of pregnancy and breastfeeding to, quote, genital echo theory. Females developed pendulous breasts around the time hominids began walking upright in order to provoke the excitation males formerly felt when gazing at the fatty deposits on the buttocks.
Oh, I feel like we're walking backwards from that now because a lot of people are focused on building up the ass instead of their boobs these days.
We like a good booty.
Mm-hmm.
But hold on, this gets better. Theorists supporting genital echo theory have noted that swellings like those of chimpanzees and bonobos,
oh, there's your bonobos,
our
again.
Good old friends the bonobos, would interfere with locomotion in a bipedal primate. So when our distant ancestors began walking upright, they reason, some of the female's fertility signaling moved from the rear office, as it were, to the front showroom.
The rear office is for other things.
Indeed it is.
That's hilarious.
That cracked me up. So, I mean, they really are for attraction purposes. I mean, what else would they be for? Because obviously, breasts are for feeding babies. But you don't have to have big boobs for that to work.
Well, and you don't have to use your breasts to feed babies either, well, if you don't
true.
Want to.
Of course not. No, but like way back in the day before formula existed, you sort of did have to. Somebody had to feed them something.
Right.
Right? But you can breastfeed a baby with a double G cup or an A cup. Like, it doesn't matter.
It's true.
So why are some people's boobs ginormous and some are just dainty little things?
You're asking me that like you think I have an answer?
No,
I don't. But I can tell you that as we were researching this, there's so many articles about boobs.
It's interesting because normally when I'm searching for boobs, I'm not looking at articles so much.
Yeah, you had some other things pop up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an article in Healthline called What Are the Most Common Breast Shapes? So yes, we all have different size boobs, but we all have different shape boobs as well. And this article says, no two people have breasts that look exactly the same. So it talks about all of these different shapes. There's asymmetrical, athletic, bell shape, relaxed, round, side set. I'm skipping some. I'm not reading them.
I liked the east to west.
Teardrop. Anyway, and there are little pictures, not of actual women's tits. All you guys were about to Google, I know it. They're more like colorful drawings that just sort of show the different shapes.
They're just suggestions.
No two people have breasts that look exactly the same, so there's no such thing as normal breasts.
Right.
I think that people that opt to have plastic surgery to modify their breast size could do that for a variety of reasons,
sure.
Right? Some of it is purely cosmetic, like they want bigger breasts. They want smaller breasts.
More shapely breasts.
Yeah. They maybe want a breast lift.
Mm-hmm. That's called a mastopexy, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd learned that word today. Mastopexy.
Okay. So it's not just like getting implants versus not getting implants anymore. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of surgeries that you can have. Some of them are medically necessary. Some of them are elective, but for medical reasons, like what Angelina Jolie did.
Right. Yeah. Let's remember to talk about Angelina Jolie a little bit later because we have some very relevant stuff to that whole situation. But I was going to say, I know someone who had a breast reduction at like 19 because they were so big and heavy that she was developing major back problems as a 19-year-old.
Oh, yeah. That's medically necessary most of the time when people elective, do that.
But medically necessary.
I don't know if, like, some insurance companies wouldn't consider it an elective surgery if it's recommended by a doctor. So, we read a statistic that said the average cost of breast augmentation surgery is $3,947, which sounds really low to me. By the way, this is from the 2019 statistics from the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. But that cost does not include anesthesia, operating room facilities, or other related expenses, all of which can add up to be quite
a
bit.
They add up so fast.
It's way more than $4,000 mm-hmm. to get your boobs done. And that's just breast augmentation. I have no idea what the cost of a reduction is. Again, hopefully your insurance would cover that if it's medically necessary. And then I don't know, you know, if the cost of a breast lift is around that or... I do watch Botched frequently on E!, but they don't usually tell you how much those surgeries cost.
No, not so much. Yeah, I've only really watched that here with you, and there have been some real conundrums that they've had to deal with.
It's freaking fascinating.
It is.
Because it's not just a show. Well, they do have some people come on that are just ridiculous just for entertainment. But primarily the show is about people who have had plastic surgery somewhere, either because it's medically necessary or it's been elective. And it's been obviously botched, like super fucked up shit. Sometimes it's because they tried to go to another country and get it done. Sometimes they didn't know when to say when. Sometimes they had a doctor who clearly didn't know what they were doing. But anyway, these two doctors, Dr. Nassif and Dr. Dubrow, are so fucking funny, and they're funny together, but they're also considered basically like the top plastic
aren't
surgeons.
They in Beverly Hills?
Like yes, in Beverly somewhere Hills. Fancy. So yeah. Anyway, the show is like about how they help these people and take these botched surgeries and do the best they can to improve their situation, and the improvement is usually drastic, but we've seen a lot of botched boob jobs on there. Dr. Dubrow is kind of like the boob guy, and so he does amazing things fixing these women up because he recognizes that for women, it's such a huge part of their feminine identity. They just really want to have a normal looking set of breasts.
Normal looking, quote, right?
I feel like I can say normal looking because on the show,
they're so
abnormal. These girls that come in, they are so completely messed up that anything resembling normal breasts is normal.
Right. I didn't realize there were so many different kinds of implants. You know, I've heard of like saline and I've heard of the silicone. There are apparently round breast implants and smooth breast implants and textured breast implants.
Why would you want texture?
Well, it says that those develop scar tissue to stick to the implant, making them less likely to move around inside the breast or become repositioned.
Interesting.
It offers some advantages, diminishing the risk of a tight scar capsule, whatever that means.
Okay.
But my favorite one on this list, which I definitely had never heard of, is the gummy bear breast implant.
I just can't help but picture like a large red gummy bear under your skin where your boob should be.
Yeah, like it's got its little arms and legs like poking out a little bit and
it's
the nose.
A little creepy.
Yeah. If you shine a flashlight on it, it would glow red underneath your skin, right? It's very weird. But apparently they are form-stable implants that maintain their shape even when the shell is broken. So they're really firm.
What do you
mean
by shell?
Like if a saline implant leaks, like the shell, the outer...
Oh, you mean like the external like case that the fluid is in. Okay.
It would leak, right? But the gummy bear ones, they don't leak.
I wonder if those feel like rocks.
They must... I mean, it's just weird to me. It says that they're firmer than traditional implants. And this is the part I don't understand why you'd want this. It says... They have more projection at the bottom and are tapered towards the top. So if they rotate, it may lead to an unusual appearance of the breast and a separate procedure to correct it.
So I wonder how doctors decide which of these different kinds of implants to
use. I have no clue.
It probably just depends on someone's anatomy and what their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of guys that I've talked to that have dated or married somebody that has breast implants say they look fantastic. They feel really weird.
Well, and I think the different kinds feel different.
Right. That's what I'm saying is maybe it just happens to be the kind of implant their wife has or something. Right. Or their girlfriend.
Or the lady they met on the street that night.
Or at the bar.
At the bar.
Back when we could do that.
Oh, remember bars.
Remember meeting people in bars.
Wah, wah. So I feel like there's such a long list of celebrities that have gotten breast implants that then had them removed because they didn't like them or they were causing some problems, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot, too, that have had multiple sets of implants and then eventually just have them taken out.
They're like, fuck it, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite that I saw was Victoria Beckham, good old Posh Spice, didn't like how her implants turned out. She called them torpedo bazookas.
Well, she's such a teeny person in a small frame. Yeah, it's probably a bit much.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big story of Chrissy Teigen, she just had her implants out and she didn't know that she was pregnant when she had that surgery.
Mm.
Obviously, it's a little frightening to find that out after the fact. She took a pregnancy test and it was negative and she had the surgery and then took a pregnancy test like not too long after and it was positive. And
yikes.
She didn't even have like a medical reason, I don't think. I think she was just fucking tired of them. She's just tired of having them in there.
Yeah. You always want what you don't have, right? So if you don't have boobs and then you want big boobs and then you're like, wait, my back hurts now. Maybe you don't want them anymore.
If you're going to put something foreign inside your body, you may decide that it looks great and so it's worth it. And maybe you're one of those lucky people that never has any issues.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people have issues.
Totally.
And it changes their body or it impacts their immune system or whatever. And so you just have to be prepared to deal with
whatever
any of those repercussions.
Yeah.
And some of these women who probably felt pressure because of their career choice to get implants and have bigger breasts are probably like, fuck this. I don't want to do this anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm already married to David Beckham. I don't need this.
Yeah. I mean, you do you, everyone. If you want a boob job, fucking get a boob job.
Totally. I mean, yeah. I know some people that have boob jobs that look great.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, yeah, you should have done that. That looks amazing.
That worked out for you.
That looks amazing on you. Does anyone know what movie that's from? We quote it quite often.
You get a bottle of Prosecco if you
that
can tell us.
That looks amazing on you. No one solved the puzzle yet either. God damn it.
There are a ton of reasons that you might get breast augmentation or reconstruction, even if you've gone through a mastectomy, say, because you had cancer.
Well, that's true. I mean, if you've lost breasts because of cancer and, you know, you want that piece of yourself back, then of mm-hmm. course you might choose to have reconstruction through
yeah.
breast implants. And speaking of botch, back to botch. So like sometimes when you have surgery, you know, you have breast cancer or other reasons to lose breast tissue or something and you have to have surgery, your nipple doesn't always survive. So you lose your nipple too.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you have reconstructive surgery, your breasts might look great and full and round again, but there's no nipple. But there are people that do tattooing of nipples on breasts after reconstruction. And you know how amazing tattoo artists are.
Mm-hmm.
They are so realistic that if you saw this person just like across the locker room or whatever, you would not know that they didn't have real nipples.
That's
awesome.
It was
a tattoo. And so it just adds to the comfort level and doing something to bring them back into feeling more like themselves.
Hmm. I have a friend who went through a really fucking scary year a couple years ago, was diagnosed with breast cancer, and like 3 weeks later had a double mastectomy. And once she'd gone through her chemo and everything was all clear, she opted for reconstruction. And when they gave her the option to like make nipples, she was like, nah, like I'm good.
Just like I'm smooth and round.
Yeah, she didn't want, because then you don't ever have to worry about nipping out in a shirt or whatever.
Oh, you like, mean like they could kind of recreate them
yeah.
for her? Got it.
Yeah, and she looks fucking fabulous.
Well, we should talk about nipples.
Yeah, speaking
while we're
of
on
nipples.
The topic. So nipples, as you all know, one of the benefits, one of the reasons you might want to keep your nipples is that they have hundreds of nerve endings. So they can be super sensitive.
They are an erogenous zone, after all.
That's right. And for people who really like that erogenous zone, you may not know, but you can actually have a nipple orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So without anyone even going below your waist or touching anything there, down there, just from that stimulation alone, you could have an orgasm.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great and something I feel like we should all try.
I would love to try that. I must have sensitive nipples, and now you all know that about me.
I've never... put it on your bio on our website.
Just right on that dating profile.
I meant your Prosecco Theory bio. I give her all the cheese. P.S. She has really sensitive nipples.
But I've never had an orgasm just from nipple stimulation. Well, but they've definitely enhanced things for me.
Sure, or like move things along.
Exactly. But
that's the thing, is that I think it's most of the time treated as just like part of foreplay, you know? So it's fun and it feels good, but not a lot of time necessarily might be spent
there. No, I'm like double duty, guys. Get in there while you're doing that other thing. let's
I want
work
it
all together.
But if you're double duty, then you're not just focusing on the one area. So it might be experiment night, folks. Just, you know, find your partner.
Who wants to come over?
Or a partner. And be like, we're going to see if you can make me orgasm just from nipple arousal. Ready? Go.
Ready, go. You need somebody with some stamina. Like, a lot of times...
like we have to have when we're giving a blowjob?
Exactly. Yes. A lot of times, you know, guys will do their due diligence in the foreplay arena, but it's all very short-lived.
That's what I'm saying, is that, like, there isn't enough time spent there to determine if it's possible for you to have a nipple orgasm. I myself would like to find out.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to try.
Me too. What else about
nipples? We'll report back. Don't worry, guys. Well, there's lots of different shapes and sizes and kinds, just like there are with breasts, right?
We need like a boob bitmoji. Like, oh, that's the shape of my breasts. That's the shape of my nipples.
Yeah, they have all the different hairstyles now. At least they could do
it. I'm going to add some animation, which is me having a nipple orgasm.
Ooh. Does it just quake a little bit?
Like, self-design a blow-up doll. You know, like one that looks like you for maybe like your fiance's bachelor party or something. Carrie, ooh, you can this blow. As soon as I said it, I was like, well.
No, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Well, it could just be like your little secret. All his buddies don't have to know, at least until like the
but
fourth shot.
But if it's for his bachelor party, then think of what all his buddies would also be doing to you. I mean, maybe you're into that.
And
the problem is. Okay. Anyway, Megan.
Sorry, mind always in the gutter.
Some of the most common nipple variations. It's really hard to go back to serious voice after
nipple
all that.
Nipple variations. You sound like a medical textbook.
Mm-hmm. Bumpy. Some small bumps around the areola called the Montgomery glands.
What do the Montgomery glands do?
I didn't look it up.
Lucky for you, I did.
Oh, look at that.
I was just trying to give you a moment. Mainly what they do is they provide some like lubrication in the form of oil to like keep the nipple area like healthy and smooth. And if you are nursing a child, then it lessens the chance they could have some kind of bacterial issue.
Oh, mastitis and all that bullshit.
Because they get that, I can't think of the word.
Clogged duct?
No.
What are you talking about?
Now I just keep thinking about all these celebrities who say that their husbands help clear their clogged ducts by sucking on their nipple, which...
That's a good man right there.
I know, but it just sounds so painful.
Yeah. Ugh. But that's what has to happen. That's how you clear them. The baby can suck on it. Your husband can suck on it. Your fucking friends can suck on it. Somebody needs to suck on it to clear it out.
I'm just going to put an ad on Craigslist. Nipple sucker needed.
Can I help you interview those people?
I think somebody undercover might be interviewing. Okay.
Okay, fine.
So anyway. What I was saying is that it helps the baby, okay?
Okay, wait. But everybody has them, but some people's are bigger, so they're bumpy?
Well, I think everyone has them, but some people's are more noticeable.
Okay.
And like some people's are more noticeable around like pregnancy and childbirth. And then kind of like go back into less noticeable mode and others don't.
Okay. All right, so moving on, we've got the everted and the inverted nipples. So the everted are erect, standing up away from the areola, even when they're not being stimulated. So those are the ones that are just like, phew, all the time. And then there's inverted, which retract inward instead of standing out.
I need to Google. I want to see what that looks like.
Pardon us while we Google things.
Okay.
Wait, show me.
Okay, like I think this is a good picture.
I want to see.
Okay, sorry for the break. I've never seen inverted nipples, so I had to Google it to see so I understood. And now I have a clear picture because I'm looking at a picture of what they look like. What else?
There are some here that are flat, some that are hairy, some that are protruding, even further than everted nipples, apparently. Some are puffy, Oh, here's a fun one. Supernumerary. This is a fancy way of saying you have an extra nipple, which, in case you're wondering, is completely normal.
Hmm. Yeah. There's all kinds of jokes about third nipples.
Yeah. It's just a nubbin.
Is that from Friends?
Yes.
Oh, this is a fun one. Unilateral inverted.
Yeah.
These nipples like to mix it up as one is inverted and the other is extroverted.
I mean,
don't I like try to put me in a box.
No, I like to mix things up.
But put things in my box.
Hey. But wait, okay, so that's nipple. But like, what did you read about areola? They are average about 4 centimeters. Like
4 centimeters in diameter.
Is that right?
Hang on.
Hold on. Wait, this one's bigger than the other one.
I think that's about right. That's normal too. Oh, I'm getting a full frontal here, folks. You are accurate. One is bigger than the other.
This is for science.
This is research. Okay, so my shirt doesn't go down as easily as yours.
I can see your Montgomery glands.
There is no time in life ever that you would use that. Oh, God, I'm dying. Pause for the peep show and a laugh attack. All right. Well, it is true that they don't have to be an exact match.
Sorry.
Michelle is dying.
I'm fine. Oh, God.
I'm very fertile and I could feed my children till they're 25, okay?
Apparently.
So speaking of boobs that are different shapes and sizes, nipples that are sensitive, I think we should talk about nipple piercing.
Yeah.
Because we both know somebody that has their nipples pierced.
I know a few somebodies.
Well, right, but I was going to give a specific example as to why this individual has her nipples pierced. She told us that she got them pierced for a couple reasons. One, her breasts are different sizes. And she said, well, most people don't even notice. She notices and it bothers her.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it was like kind of to help detract from that because she was a little insecure about it.
Mm.
Also, her nipples are not very sensitive. And she had heard that with piercing, you can bring more sensitivity. So she also was trying to increase her sensitivity by getting
them
pierced.
Did it work?
I don't think so.
Oh.
No.
Interesting. I would think, I mean, I know nothing about it, but I would think that putting a needle through would cut off some of those nerves.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't researched why. I mean, obviously, there's some information out there that says that it can increase sensitivity because that's one of the reasons that she chose to do it. But I do know that it can take a really long time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, your body can just reject the piercing. So like it never heals.
Oof.
To a point where sometimes your body will like push out the bar.
Ow.
Normally when you get pierced, you start with the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading this article. They were talking to these different women who got their nipples pierced. And one of the women said that she loved how it looked so much that even though her body was like rejecting the piercings, she was determined to keep them in. But then she said it started actually creating problems in her marriage because they were so frequently like tender or sore or infected that when they were being physically intimate, she was constantly telling her husband like, nope, that's a no-go zone. Can't go there. Can't touch that, you know? And so
like
created problems. And so she finally had to give up and take them out. But
I mean, she could just get it tattooed on there if she liked the look so much.
That's not quite the same as a nipple ring, I don't think.
Probably not.
I mean, I think they look cool. Like our friend that we're talking about, her nipple rings look cool.
So she was not fully satisfied with the way that she looked in that department and wanted to try to do something to make herself feel better about it, is what you're saying.
Right. She was trying to like increase her satisfaction level with her breasts by changing something or embellishing them, I guess you would say.
Yeah. A not so surprising number of women are not satisfied with their own breasts. There was a study of over 50,000 people, both men and women, 18 to 65 years old, and it was posted on MSNBC and Elle.com. Essentially, 70% of women were not satisfied with their breasts. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, but is that surprising, though? How many women are perfectly satisfied with their bodies in general?
Well, true.
Right? 28% wanted larger breasts, 9% wanted smaller, And 33% believed that their breasts were too droopy. So only 30% were satisfied.
And I know that we don't know this for sure, but I would venture a guess that those figures probably included women that already have breast implants. Like they probably want another surgery because they want to change this little thing or make that perfect.
Or that now they're satisfied.
Right.
So on the other side of that coin, this was a study of heterosexual individuals. I think that's important to mention here because it talks about women's satisfaction with their own breasts and men's satisfaction with their partner's breasts. So it was heterosexual people all around for this study. But 56%, so over half of men were satisfied. Surprisingly, only 4% wanted them to be smaller.
That's so weird.
A shock to no one. 20% wanted larger breasts, and 20 also believed that they were too droopy.
Man.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah. Pay for a boob job.
Yeah, then. Fuck off.
I would not want to know if my partner clicked that box.
No, I only want to know when my partner clicks my box.
That's right. With consent.
Obviously. So switching gears a little bit, I recently went for my wellness exam and, you know, I'm 41 and they have started talking to me about mammograms and it's not, you know, necessary until you're 50, I think. They say most major health groups recommend mammograms every year or two for women 50 to 74, but some suggest you start as early as 40. And because I have a good friend who went through what she did a couple years ago, and she was, I think, 38 when all that began for her, I'm into it. Like, I'll go do it. I'll get started on it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done it yet, but I need to make that appointment and make it happen. Because, you know, you can do the self-checks at home and everything, and that can only tell you so much. And really, at that point, you're just looking for changes, right?
Yeah. Not that everything doesn't change all the time anyway once you hit 40.
True.
At least that's how it feels.
Yeah. If all of a sudden there's something gummy bear shaped in your boob, you should probably have it looked at unless you had it placed there purposely.
50 seems late to me because I had two friends in the last few years in their 40s get breast cancer, mm-hmm. and one of them survived and one of them didn't. So yeah. I just feel like 50 sounds too late, but maybe I'm personalizing that.
Well, but I think it's a good reminder that this shit can happen. A breast cancer diagnosis doesn't give a shit about your age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really. And that's why people are starting to do the genetic testing for the BRCA gene mutations.
Oh, yeah. My sister had that done, actually. And we mentioned Angelina Jolie earlier,
right.
too,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did.
So that was very public. And I was surprised when you were reading to me some of her statistics.
Yeah.
Not statistics. What word? Some of her... test results
yeah.
that motivated her to do that. Mm-hmm. When I heard them, I was like, oh yeah, I would do that too.
Totally. To catch you all up with us here. Her mom passed away from ovarian cancer. And so in 2013, she did the genetic testing to find out about her BRCA genes. And quick side note, when I heard about the BRCA genes, I didn't really understand it fully, clearly. I thought I did, but I did not.
Well, I didn't even know that it was genes plural. Right. I thought there was one.
There are two, BRCA1 and BRCA2. The BRCA1 gene is located on chromosome 17. BRCA2 is located on chromosome 13. And all women have BRCA genes, both of them. They are tumor suppressor genes, and it's mutations in those genes that prevent them from working normally that can lead to a much higher risk of having breast cancer. So when I had heard about these tests, I thought they were testing for the gene. Do you have the BRCA gene?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case.
That's what I thought too.
Right. So it turns out that about 50% of women with a mutation on either BRCA1 or 2 will get breast cancer by the time they are 70, as compared to 7% generally, and this is all in the U.S. About 30% of women with a BRCA1 or 2 mutation will get ovarian cancer by the time they're 70, as compared to 1% generally in the U.S. Angelina Jolie's mom passed away from ovarian cancer. She had the test done in 2013, and it showed a BRCA1 mutation. A couple statistics I saw, and this was from cancerresearchuk.org, said that a BRCA1 carrier has a 60 to 90% chance of getting breast cancer and a 40 to 60% chance of ovarian cancer. That is fucking high.
Yeah, and what was her percentage?
She was told she had an 87% chance of breast cancer, which is so specific.
Obviously, she can afford the best test.
True.
Money can buy. You know, finances are not a factor.
Not an issue.
It's not like, what will insurance cover? What will they not? And I'm sure, I know she and her mom are really close. So after the pain of losing her mom, she probably didn't want her children to go through that. And so I can see why, with those figures, she made that choice.
Absolutely. So in case you're living under a rock and don't know, she opted to have a double mastectomy and then I believe had reconstruction after that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was immediate reconstruction.
Apparently, when she had the double mastectomy, her chances of someday having breast cancer went down to 5%.
So from 87% to 5%.
Which is lower than the general population.
You know, it just seems to me like they should just test women once you hit a certain age for this.
Yeah.
And then if you have it, they could have the option of having a double mastectomy and getting reconstructive surgery and having it paid for by insurance, because that's probably a fuck of a lot cheaper than paying for cancer treatments.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would want to do that if, you know, I'm thinking about my children and I haven't even been tested for the gene, but fuck, now I kind of want to.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course it would be fucking cheaper to do all that preventive stuff.
It's just kind
than
of
to
like,
pay for the diseases that we all get instead.
Cover birth control. Because it's a lot more fucking expensive, not only paying for a baby, especially if it's like a C-section, things like that, but then you have another person to pay insurance for as they grow. It just seems logical, right?
Logic does not factor into our government very much, sorry.
Well, you know.
Apparently, it's not just women that can have this BRCA mutation, so I'm not sure if all men also have both BRCA genes, but I do know that men can have breast cancer. I mean, we've all seen Fight Club, right?
Yeah.
I joke, but it's not funny. It can happen. Because it's all about the tissue. It's not about...
Right. It's the location of the tissue where the cancer is. Right. So.
Which I didn't realize can be in your armpit as well. Because all that tissue goes down like into your armpit.
I've had friends that have had that surgery that have had like lymph nodes that go into their armpit taken out and checked. So.
Yeah, man, I got to remember to schedule that mammogram. I wonder if it changes how much it hurts to have your boobs squished if they're different sizes. Like, I have slightly bigger boobs. Is it going to hurt more because there's more to squish between those fucking glass plates or whatever it is?
I'm sure that it will.
God damn it.
You have to make sure to wear your most chaste set of bra and underwear that day.
I don't think I'm going to worry about matching for the mammogram tech.
Don't you do that when you have to go to the gynecologist? You're not going to wear, like, your lacy underwear to the gynecologist, right?
I just wear whatever the fuck comfy shit I want to wear.
Okay.
Because I'm just going to take it off and be in that beautiful little robe anyway.
True. I mean, it's not like they really see your underwear.
No, if I'm wearing something because someone's going to see it, that's different.
Yeah, although the irony in that is that I have spent many dollars on under things that I thought that somebody might enjoy seeing.
Under things?
Well, it could be lingerie, it could be bras. You present yourself in said under things, and they are off in a fucking hot minute. And
right.
I can't help but think to myself sometimes,
why'd I waste that money?
Well, that was $70. Could you even tell me what color it was?
Oh my God.
It is so fucking hard to find a bra that fits correctly. And now I know why. Because no two women have the same type of boobs.
Right. Anyone that knows anything about this will tell you, like, go get measured. Go to Nordstrom. Go to Victoria's Secret. Have them actually measure you, fit you. And okay, I can't be bothered.
I do think that improves things. I've had that done before. Yeah. And it does help. But the thing is, your body changes.
Well, true.
So you're like, finally, you know, it's kind of like you found the perfect jeans finally. Like, finally, I found the perfect fit. And then a year or two later, it does not fit right at all.
Then it's COVID and I eat all the things and nothing fits anymore. But why am I wearing a bra anyway? Honestly.
Yeah, well, we've had this discussion. You are sort of anti, you wear a bra as little as possible, right?
Well, no, I mean, I wear it during the day, but by the end of the day, I'm like getting home and I'm like, oh my God, get this armor off me.
I want to wear a bra all the time. Like,
even, so weird.
Even when I sleep at night, I prefer to have a bra on.
No.
Unless I'm doing some other kind of physical activity.
Free the titties.
I just like them all, you know, tucked in, locked down.
I do not.
Yeah, it's more comfortable to me.
Maybe I'm just wearing the wrong breasts.
Flopping around. Well, maybe you should go get measured and do all the things.
Maybe.
And then a year from now, it won't fit.
Right. So why bother? I don't know.
Free the titties.
Yeah, free the titties. You know what's interesting is I could not find any statistics on how common each cup size or bra size is. All of the information that's out there came from like one or two different studies that they don't seem super legit.
Well, I don't know how you could speak to that for the whole population, you know?
There was one thing we saw, right, that said that the U.S. was by far like the biggest cup size or whatever.
Well, that's probably due to surgery.
No, but even that, it said it was like greater than an F. There's no way in hell the average cup size in the U.S. Right. I don't know. I don't think it's possible. So I think it's bullshit and we shouldn't even give it any airtime. Yeah, but
fuck them. We're not talking about that anymore.
We're not talking about them. I would like to know, like, you know, is it 10% of the population that has an A cup and 20% of the B cup?
You
just want to
know how you compare, don't you?
Yeah, I want to know how much I win. Obviously.
This is kind of like, are you ever on a dating app and then you, like, change it? So instead of looking at men, you're looking at women so you can see, like, what the competition is?
Well, I've tried, but the only thing that that does is bring up women who are looking for other women.
No, well, it depends on the app you're on.
That's true.
Because some apps you can just, like, search. Like, I want to search, you know, this gender in this age range.
That's true.
Within 3 miles from me. That's Michelle.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
3 miles.
Yeah. You just want to know how you stack up.
Totally. I've tried it and it didn't work out because.
You didn't even appreciate that. How you stack up.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. That was a good one.
Accepted. Well, what have we learned about our tits?
I have learned that.
They're all beautiful. They're all unique.
You have Montgomery glands that I can see.
Do we really have to harp on that again? Your areolas are much larger than mine. Should we talk about that?
Well, they are. What'd you say? 4 centimeters average? It's bigger than that. You're all welcome.
I don't know how to wrap this up.
Nope. I know how to wrap it up. In a bra.
You don't like that, though.
No, I'll rip it off at the end of the day. I will say, I really like how my boobs look in a bra.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't want to feel it on me all night long.
I feel more comfortable.
It's your security blanket.
Get up and put a bra on that all the night. So I have one request that's kind of serious for female listeners and one request for male listeners that's not so serious.
Let me hear them.
Or I guess that second one could apply to both male and females. Okay, female listeners, please take your breast health seriously.
Yes, please.
Get mammograms, pay attention, because some of this was lighthearted and funny. But as noted, I mean, at least I have lost a friend
Absolutely.
In her 40s to breast cancer. So it's serious shit, actually, at the end of the day.
Yep.
On a lighter note, I would like to encourage everybody, if your partner is wearing something beautiful and lacy and feminine and fucking expensive for you.
Appreciate it.
Please take a minute and look at it before you rip it off.
Give a nice compliment.
And try to have a nipple orgasm.
Oh, God. We got to go try that out. I mean, not like right now.
If anybody has a great nipple orgasm, please let us know.
Absolutely. Write in. We will read your letter live on the air. And when I say live, I mean recorded a week ago. And then we'll tell
and heavily edited to sound good.
Stop giving away our secrets.
The sooner we end this, the sooner our nipple orgasm is coming. So
I better go home.
Got a hot date with your TV?
Yeah. Ooh, have you ever thought about trying a vibrator on your nipples?
Oh, I feel like it would be a little intense.
I agree.
So no.
Only one way to find out.
Well, you report back.
On that note, I'm going to go. You are all going to find us online at the places Damn Megan it. Doesn't want me to tell you about. At Prosecco Theory on the socials. Send us an email at cheers@proseccotheory.com. Please rate, review, subscribe, all the things that she's going to give me a rhythm for.
Okay, are we done?
Yes, we're done.
Oh, thank God. Cheers.
Cheers.
Nipple orgasm.
Woohoo!